Well, how many of you have played basketball on this ball court right here? Quite a few of you, huh? Well, those of you that played ball on here know that number one, the wall's out, right? Okay, so if you play in this gym, see this standard right here is no good because it's too close. So you can play off the wall, all right? Everybody know that? Okay, but how about over here? You know, if I come over here and go and plan to take a shot, which somebody heads up over here, okay, and let's say Tommy comes and guards me. Tommy, you come guard me for a sec. Okay, so he's quite the guy, I understand, right? He's going to take it to me. I picked the wrong guy. Okay. He's going to hack me. Rain down on him. All right, so if Tommy's guarding me and right here and I get ready to take that shot, he's all right. Is it a good shot for me to take from right this spot? Yeah, I'm okay. Well, I could go with that one, right? If I go with this shot, right? Oh, all air. But how about Tommy? I say, Tommy, here, you know, I want to play over here. I'm going to make this shot right here. Okay,
John,
Tom.
John, that's not part of the rules.
Well, I want this shot right here. I want to play up there. No, come on, Tommy. I want to play over here. How about if I make one? It's getting worse. Tommy, you make one. Go ahead. Hey, the problem was, though, that don't count. Why? Why doesn't that count? That's not part of the rules. He's out of bounds. Now, Tommy, do you think I'm being judgmental for me to tell you to say, you know what, Tommy, that's a great shot. We all are impressed. And if we were playing horse, that'd be great. But we're playing one-on-one, and Tommy smoked me in one shot. Right? But he's out of bounds, so the shot doesn't count. Am I being judgmental? Say, Tommy, that's right. That's wrong, man. You're cheating. No, I'm not being judgmental. No, I'm not being judgmental. Why? Because we've agreed upon that, hey, when we play in this gym, if we agree upon this in advance that the wall's out, but that baseline, you can't shoot past the baseline and it count. Ultimately, when we take the passage that Jesus is talking about today, which you have before you, that's the passage we must begin with and understand. Because that's what ultimately Jesus is saying. Let's look at this passage. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Well, obviously, as we've been going through this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has had a lot of great teaching to telling us how to guide our lives according to His kingdom principles. If He's saying, these are the kingdom things that are the most important to me, and I'm going to show you, I'm going to teach you how I want you to walk and live and talk and communicate, how I want you to treat one another, the ways that I want you to be through these Beatitudes that we've looked at. God wants us to have this pattern of our behavior. So everybody says, you know what? Yeah, I understand that. I get that Jesus is guiding us along in that truth. Well, so then it comes down to this passage, this portion where He says, now, judge not that you be not judged. And what is Jesus saying? Because a lot of times we misuse that in this day and time. And what usually happens is we're going along and something's going wrong in our life. We know that we're not living according to some kingdom principles. And somebody calls us out on it. And somebody says, hey, Tice, you can't play beyond the baseline. Doesn't count. And we say, man, you're awfully judgmental. But you get out of my face. How dare you judge me? And then we say something, or you hear it like this, judge not that you be not judged. How many of you heard that? How many of you used it? Well, here's the point Jesus is making. The point that Jesus is making is there are some standards of measurement. And what He's saying is be careful the standard you use. What is your standard of measurement for your behavior? Ultimately, is the thing that you have sitting in the center of your table, or some of you brought in with you. This is the standard of measurement. Okay? This is the one that lays out the parameters of what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. So when it comes to judgment, Jesus is saying, look, make sure that you hold up the right standard. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. It cuts me to the quick. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 13 in that passage of Hebrews 4 says, and it lays us bare before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. In other words, the Word of God lays us bare before God. How many of you, through this talks this year, have been laid bare while you're sitting there at the end of a talk and you think, man, that cut me open? That's not the intent of the person up here. What does that work? The Word of God that cuts to the soul. So then when somebody stands up, a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, or you in your home, and you call somebody to account and say, look, here's the standard. You're not being judgmental. All you're doing up is holding up the mirror. You see, if the Word of God tells us what we ought to be about, and I say, look, you know, look, this is the standard. I just simply hold up the mirror. I'm not a judge. What's already the judge? The Word's the judge of my actions. So what Jesus is saying, be very careful what your standard of measurement is. See, the problem in judgment with us and what Jesus was addressing is what? We use whose standards? The Word's standards? No, we use our standards. Well, I know I'm better than Pastor Paul. According to whose standard? Mine. You see, we elevate our standard to Word status and we emphasize the Word of God to just unnecessary status. My friends, we've got a culture that has done that. Don't you agree? We elevate human standards, our cultural standards, what's acceptable to us of our own particular preferences, and we lift those up and we leave the Word wanting. Instead of elevating what the Word of God teaches us and studying it and knowing it, so that then we can bring our lives into alignment. So what Jesus is, first of all, and the first principle we have to learn is, what is your standard of measurement? Choose the right standard. Choose the right standard. The second thing Jesus teaches us here that we have to note is, get the plank out of your own eye. So what's Jesus saying? Well, here now Jesus is saying, look, you got this plank in your eye. And you come up to your brother, Tim, and say, Tim, man, I can see some sawdust in your eye. Let me help you here. Well, that's going to be a problem. Because I got this plank in my eye, and I've got some issues to work through on it. So let's say I go ahead and I talk, and I said, you know what? You know, I've got some anger issues, and I find myself, I'm blowing up at my wife and my family. I'm being short with them, and I'm getting angry, and for no reason. Just because when I don't get my way, I blow up. Right? And then I'm going to come over and say, Mike, you know what? I've noticed you got some attitude issues to work through. And Mike's going to say to me, John, buddy, you better get the plank out of your own eye. And would Mike be right to say that? Yeah, right. So maybe if I'm dealing with anger issues in my own life, and yet Mike comes over and blows up, and I say, well, Mike, you know, I've noticed you've got some anger issues you need to work through. Jesus is saying, don't be a hypocrite. Don't hold a standard, violate a standard. You better get the plank out of your own eye before you can help your brother with his. Now, I don't know about you, but I've noticed that you guys got some issues. But I got some issues too. Collectively among us, we got a bunch of issues. Now, thankfully, all of our issues aren't in the same area. That means some of us don't have an issue with some things. Some of you here today, anger is not your thing. You don't blow up at your wife. You don't blow up at your family. You don't blow up at your kids when you don't get your way. That's not your issue. But there's others of you, hey, that's a big issue. Some of you have issues, and as it relates to things that the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I mean, lying, cheating on your taxes, unfaithfulness to your wife, Some of you are in the strip clubs. Some of you are going in adultery. Some of you are dealing with pornography. Some of you grapple with drunkenness. Some of you do get angry with your wife. You speak sharply. Have I hit anybody? Yeah, I've hit probably some of all of us. Now, if I didn't list your issues, read the book. There's a whole host of others you can find. Maybe yours might be pride. I didn't mention that one. The point of the scripture is, look, you've got these different things. First, get the plank out of your own eye. And what do? Number one, I got to go back to the mirror of the Word of God. If you and I are going to get honest with God about where we need, I got to get in the Word. The greatest corrector of my behavior is conviction from God and saying, you know what, God, I got to stop this. I recognize and realize if I continue on this path, it's going to continue to eke away at my soul in such a way that I'm not going to know who I am or what I'm supposed to do because I'm being clouded by my own sinfulness. I'm going to have a clear sense of purpose of what God intends for my life because I'm getting messed up with my issues. So I got to get personally in the Word of God. Guys, huddle is great. It's awesome. But it's only as awesome as you go and take action on the things that you get convicted about. If I go and do nothing, well, that is nice and I feel good about that, but I become what Jesus talked about. You hypocrite. I don't know about you, but I think everybody in this room is a hypocrite. Wouldn't you agree with me? How many of you know better than you do? Well, then you're a hypocrite. And so am I. We all came into this room hypocrites because we all know better than we do. And that's what a hypocrite is. How many of us have taken our children or our wife to task for something that we do? How many times have we gotten upset with our wife maybe, or again, she spent some money and she spent $150 at Walmart. And we got to say, how in the world did you spend $150 at Walmart? We just went last week and got groceries, all the while forgetting that a month before you'd gone on a golf trip and spent $150 a round. You see, that's the kind of thing what Jesus is saying. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't take somebody else to task for something that you're doing in your own life in a different way. He's saying, let's be fair and honest in that. But get the plank out of your own eye and get convicted about your stuff. Why? So that then you can see clearly to help your brother with the sawdust in his eye. My question is, every one of us got some sawdust too. Every one of us got some issues we got to work through. And you know what? That's the second part of help. That's why we huddle. That's why we talk about those issues. Why? Because confession to God is important. But confession to one another is also very important. In fact, James chapter 5 and verse 13 says, confess your sins one to another that ye may be healed. In what way are you healed? You're healed when Satan loses the grip on your life to think that you're the only one in the corner suffering with that issue. There's every one of our hearts in here that says, you know what? I must be the only guy grappling with this part of my life. And then we start talking and we start sharing. You know what? We realize we're all very common. We're grappling with the same issues. Pride and how to manage our money and greed and how to not fall in love with the wrong stuff and to not get lustful about things that I think are going to fill me with happiness, but to stay focused and stay focused on my wife and my family and my kids. And then also once I do that, then to be able to give in such a way that reflects that God's in control of my life. Those are the issues that we grapple with just practically working out day by day by day. And I don't know about you, but I fall down every day because I'm a hypocrite. Now, the challenge is when I tell you that, Satan begins to lose the control in my life because when I'm honest with what I am, then he can't lock me in the closet anymore and try to convince me that, you know, John, you are a worthless piece of garbage. How do you think you're going to be of any value to anybody? Because that's what Satan locks us in. He says, you know, what have you got to offer? What we've got to offer is a life changed by the power of God because we looked into the mirror of God's Word and we said, God, I'm not going to be the same man anymore. That's what we have. And when we commit ourselves to that pursuit day by day by day, then we get a chance to get what God told Timothy. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, who rightly divides the word of truth. That's what I want my life to be about. How about you? So then, if that becomes the issue, then I can begin to deal with my plank. But so what? For what purpose? So I can help my brother with his sawdust. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Listen to this. It's incredible. Because this is what it says. Here's how to help somebody with the sawdust in their eye. Brothers, if someone's caught in a sin, in other words, they're playing outside the boundaries. All of us been there. You who are spiritual, restore him gently. Now, who's you who are spiritual? The first thing is, well, how do I guarantee if I'm spiritual or not? Okay? The point of you being spiritual is having the plank out of your eye in that area. That's the point. If you don't have your plank in your eye in that area, well, then find somebody. If you got a plank in that area, find somebody who doesn't have that plank. And get that brother to that person, because he says, restore him in a spirit of meekness. Get another brother with you to go and say, you know what? Hey, this is an area that, man, John, you're not seeing it. You're missing it. And then restore him in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way fulfill the law of Christ. Well, what's the law of Christ? The law of Christ is to love God and love each other. Real simple. That's the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. In other words, judge your own life. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. In other words, you can say, you know what? I'm doing okay. I'm growing. I'm not where I once was, but thank God he's continuing to change me, and I'm not what I'm ultimately going to be. I'm in the progress and process of growing into likeness to God. That's progress. That's hope. For each of you should carry his own load. In other words, bear each other's burdens in the area that you need that help. You need that sawdust and you can't see to get it out of your eye. But everybody's responsible to carry your own load. In other words, tend to your business, tend to your own spiritual growth, take a hold of your own life, discipline yourself in the area of becoming a godly man. We are responsible. We can't expect God to zap us in the rear end, to zap us into holiness. It doesn't happen like that. God desires for us to grow in likeness to Him and to have our lives in such a way that we can, number one, use a right standard of measurement, the Word of God. That we can then also get the plank out of my own eye, so that we can then turn and help a brother. We need help. That's why we huddle up. We need that strength. One closing story. In ancient times, during New Testament times when Jesus wrote this, pottery was common. Obviously, all the vessels that they used for drinking and eating, there would be pottery, kiln, clay that had been hardened by fire. Well, obviously, in the marketplace, there was lots of folks down there selling their wares, selling their dishware for people that needed it. So consequently, they would go down there, and a potter would have his potter wheel out there, and you could see him working and all that kind of thing. And as they worked, they would take then the vessels and put them in, and they'd fire them. Well, in the firing process, the workmen hadn't always done the best job, and so consequently, there might be a crack at the top or something, some little edge. And so before they put the glaze on it or the cover or the dye or whatever they would do, instead of just saying, you know what, that's cracked and I'm going to throw that pot out, those that were unreputable and or would be selling something not quite of the best quality would take wax and they'd put it up inside of the crack. And they'd fill the crack with wax, and then they would paint over and glaze it. And to the naked eye, you wouldn't know the difference. Unless somebody would maybe hold it up to the light. And then if you held it up to the light or to the sun, you could begin to see the difference or the crack. So you knew the difference in the one that was with wax or without wax. The scripture here for the word hypocrisy is to be the same word that was used for being without wax. He said, don't be hypocrites. In other words, be men with no wax. Be genuine articles. Be those who are filled, that have taken the cracks that have been in their own lives and been allowed to fill it ultimately with the healing of God, who not only just fills in the cracks, He takes and gives you a new vessel. Because what God does when He plants by faith in you, Jesus Christ, what He says is He throws that old pot out and He says, I'm going to make a new one. I'm going to make a new pot that's genuine, that has a desire and a heart for the things of God, that has a passion and understanding that life does not consist in anything but pursuing God. And when we pursue God, God fills us up with that which is without wax. It causes me to want to be genuine and real and to realize that, you know what? God can make me what He wants me to be. And when He makes us genuine, when we become men without wax and we're filled with integrity, and we are blessed are the men who are peacemakers, and blessed are the men who are meek, and blessed are the men who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled, and blessed are the men who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And we become these blessed men that this passage intended. We become men full of God, without wax, and ready to be used as a vessel fit for His service. My brothers, judge not that you be not judged. Hold the right standard. Get the plank out of your eye and help a brother with the sawdust in his. God, thank You for Your Word. It does help us. It gives us hope in the midst of difficult days. Oh God, keep us and this group of men to be men without wax. In Jesus' name, amen.